from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Pennington nods in Himes' direction. Bases loaded, two out. Tie game in the bottom of the 10th. The 2-0 pitch. Swing and a ball driven up the alley in left center field. Leote going over. Can't get there. It falls for the base hit. And the Red Sox walk off the Rangers here tonight by the final of 5-4 in 10 innings.
Good morning, Metroplex. That's how we start off the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan.
And they did it without with a big suspension on their plate. The Red Sox went over the only team in baseball who doesn't have a pride night. I think they sent a strong message last night that they weren't going to tolerate what happened the other night.
I thought I saw that. Again, I don't trust anything on Twitter now. It sucks. I have to go and double check. I'm checking more sources now than I did in college when I got failed for plagiarism.
I trust it more now than before Elon. He got rid of all the bad people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you trust that Spaces last night, too? More on that at 7 from RJ with a recap. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't tune into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't tune
in. Mainstream media blocked you from listening to it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know what we're talking about, the Spaces?
Yeah, Trump was on last night. Yeah, no, I didn't watch it or listen to it. Was it a video or audio?
Anyway.
I love the way he pretends like he didn't listen to the whole thing for 3 hours. Okay, sure. Try.
It was 3 hours?
I have no idea. Keep going, Sean.
I don't know. Lisp was trending. Apparently something was up with Donald's teeth. I don't know. Lou Holtz was trending last night.
Oh, God.
And I'm not making a joke. Anyway, the Rangers take the lead. Well, Corey Seager ties in the eighth. They take the lead with a struggling Josh Smith driving in the go-ahead. And then it all falls apart after a very shaky bullpen performance as the Texas Rangers lose. The Red Sox snap their losing streak. And the armpit wins again.
Shaky is quite the word to use, especially the first guy out of the bullpen, Chafin, who could not buy a strike. Could not find the strike zone.
Yeah.
And he walks four guys in a row, and it's like, how is he even allowed to be out there after his second straight walk? But the difference is you just want to burn everybody.
Throwing out a lot of rookies, too.
Yeah, they were. Garabito, I was like, whoa, where did this guy come from? And then the other dude that I can't stand, Festa.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
Screw this dude, because Sarah calls him Daddy. And I'm like, he's not that attractive,
she's got
but he
a lot
does.
Of daddies.
But that's fine. As long as she comes home to this one, that's all that matters to me. He does have a nice dumpy. I'll give him that, right? He's got a nice butt. It's a Spencer Strider booty.
The Rangers, Bobby, are now 8.5 back, 3-7 in their last 10. Houston leads the West by half a game over Seattle.
Yeah, this is like, again, it's. I want to repeat it. I want to make sure it's clear. I was not cheering for the Rangers to fall apart. I didn't want that. I just think it was, you could see this coming. Like the context clues we were given over the last, month leading up to the trade deadline, when people were leaning into, hey, look, they're having success, they can build on this, it felt like you could always say, but look, there's this here that says regression to the mean, or there's this here that says that's not the measure you should use, like sweeping the White Sox. Like, there are things here that you need to consider, and it's starting to basically crumble. It felt sort of miraculous that they were 2.5 back on July 25th mm-hmm. or whatever they were. And now you're just starting to see it's falling back to where they probably should have been. They've had some, as weird as it sounds, they've had some luck in the standings throughout the last 2 months with the way they've played.
And now my question is this. What needs to happen in order for them to not lead the show anymore? That's what I'm asking as a host. They have to be how many back? Your is suggesting to me you're about to say right now or yesterday. It can start with that. When can the Rangers be eliminated from top of the show openings?
July 25th.
July 25th.
The day we got to Oxnard to broadcast. That was the day that could have been eliminated.
Yeah, right.
But I understand they're in a competitive, quote unquote, division. And so they were in the race. It's just this never felt like a team that was going to win the division.
So unless something crazy happens in one of their games with an amazing highlight or someone using homophobic slurs, this is it. We all band together and we make the agreement August 13th, 2024 for the season. Today's the last day that we open up with them unless something crazy happens.
Sure. I mean, they're at a point where they're so far out.
Yeah.
Like the chances that they would even remotely have a chance to get back in. Now, we've seen teams 8.5 back on August 13th make the playoffs. We've seen that. I just don't know with injuries to the pitching staff that are unknown. What's next for a lot of these guys? Now, Jake DeGrom may pitch. Right?
I don't know.
He might.
Chris Young was on yesterday with the G-Bag Nation, and they asked him that very question.
We are likely to get Jacob back this year. I mean, I his rehab is going as well as it possibly can. He's on pace to be back, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And he threw another live BP today in Fenway. It went well. He felt great. The ball was jumping out of his hand. It was electric, 98, 99 miles an hour. And so it's part of his ramp up. We'll see how he comes out of this over the next couple of days. He should have another live BP in a few days. And then at which point we'll start his rehab assignments at our minor league affiliates and start building him up towards getting back into a major league game. But he's on pace. He's doing wonderfully. He's worked so hard. I'm really happy for him, and I'm excited to see him back on a big league mound.
Okay, so that's a big day. If that happens, and we talked to Sandler last week and he was like, I think they ideally, regardless of whether they're in or out of it, they would rather him get the kinks out this year as opposed till next year.
I'm fine either way. You want to just save it till next year?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Fine. Jim Bowden says Nate Eovaldi has an oblique strain and will have his next start pushed back, but no IL stint needed. So the reevaluation of Eovaldi and Scherzer, not good.
No, it's not good because let's just say it's more than one start. Let's say they push it back and he gets, because look, he's not 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he gets to 2 days before a start, it's just kind of still there. That pushes everything back. I mean, they're not the healthiest team right now, and they're not hitting like the best team either. So, yeah, at 8.5 back, the chance that they were go on one of these runs that the Phillies went on in 2008 or whatever, not happening.
Yeah, I'd like to finish 10 back instead of 12 back, so it'd be nice to get Eovaldi back soon. That'd be good if he could come back and keep us competitive for a couple games there. This is the risk you were taking, and this is now, with everything, the talk that we keep hearing about, the purse strings are going to be tight, they're not going to spend this offseason, they're not going to do any of that, they've spent so much money in free agency over the last 4 years with Seager, Simeon, DeGrom. They're kind of like, hey, we're maxed out here. We're not putting anything else on credit cards. We're not doing this. And now you've got there's nobody like obvious coming up through the minor leagues that you feel like are here. I anticipate a Rangers offseason that sounds strikingly similar to the one we got from the Cowboys this offseason. Well, we're getting Diggs back. We're getting these guys back.
Yep.
Like, look, Wyatt Langford, he's going to be in his second year. We expect the second year jump.
Yeah.
Evan Carter's going to be healthy this year, and that's what they're going to sell us all offseason.
Jaron Duran, the Red Sox get the win despite missing him. He was suspended 2 games, unpaid, after the anti-gay slur that happened on Sunday against the Astros. So he's gone for 2 games. And I was about to say to start the show before we got into the Trump-Elon Musk spaces kind of discussion, I thought I saw this T-shirt where Duran was wearing, like, F it or F them all or something like that was circulating yesterday. I don't know if that was from yesterday. That would have been a very ballsy, probably kind of stupid thing to do to wear that T-shirt. But Duran, gone for 2 games.
Look, I really am happy and proud that Major League Baseball, I needed this clarification. I needed Major League Baseball to put a number on which slurs are more important or worse than others. I'm really glad baseball clarified that Yuli Gurriel doing a racist Asian gesture was 2.5 times worse than Jaron Duran using a gay slur. I needed that clarification. I'm glad Major League Baseball is going down this
road.
He
got
here.
5 games?
Yeah, 5 games.
Actions speak louder than words, yes. So action slurs are going to be more than word slurs.
Because there was a Blue Jays player about a decade ago who had a gay slur written on his eye black.
Kevin Pillar?
It was not Kevin Pillar. And he got 4 games.
Escobar.
Yunel Escobar.
Yeah.
And he got 4 games. Does baseball use past precedent here?
Well, for the record, this is Jeff Passan. He says that they are. 2017, Matt Joyce got 2 games. Anti-gay slur at a fan. Same season, Kevin Pillar off Toronto, 2 games. And then 2012, he's saying, you know, Escobar got a 3-game suspension. I don't know how appeals work and everything.
Yeah.
He got 3 games for wearing the eye black stickers, anti-gay slur, in Spanish.
In Spanish.
Yeah.
In Spanish. I don't know. There's a little inconsistent. I think it's a very slippery slope when you like.
I mean, it is consistent with the last 2 or 3 incidents. Anti-gay slur, 2 games. What's that? Right.
Well, the issue is the Gurriel.
Yeah.
You know, which was when he did that with Yu Darvish.
Was it the same? I don't know if it. No, it's. Did they say the same things? Like, did Joyce use the same word? Or was it was it another slur that was used? Because to me, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, are they saying this is something where he's being suspended for saying any sort of derogatory language towards somebody in the front? Like, if he would have used another word that's not considered as bad as that one, would he still be getting 2 games just on the principle of...
No, but just have a zero-tolerance policy against any intolerance.
Okay,
all
right.
And just suspend everybody 5 games.
Chop, let's be real, though. Like, I mean, there are levels to the words that we use. And so, like, I'm saying that...
Corporations can't look at it.
All right, but I'm just saying, in reality, socially, there are levels to the words
socially,
we use. Okay,
sure,
yeah. And so what I'm saying is this Major League Baseball saying any level of derogatory comments, you're getting it like this? Or they're saying, we have certain words that you're locked in, you're getting this.
Does 2 games seem light out of 162? I agree with you, by the way, Gurriel, and this should be the exact same, whatever it is.
Right.
If it's going to be 2, if it's going to be 5, it should be the same. Does 2 out of 162 seem light? If this happened in the NBA, in the NFL, would it be a bigger deal?
Well, NBA is... NBA is a different story, right? They're socially so much different than every other league. It's just the way it is. But, you know, Kobe didn't get... He got fined. Now, it was 15 years ago, so it was a different world.
Are you sure, Orlovsky?
I'm sure it was 15 years ago, yeah. Actually, it was probably 13. So it's a different world, but... Yeah. I do wonder what would happen in the NBA. NFL, like, would they suspend for a game? That'd be the equivalent of 10 games in Major League Baseball.
I mean, should we view it as 2 out of 162, or should we view it as 2 out of 48, which there's 48 remaining and they're 2 games out of the wild card? Like, I mean, is it there's yeah. weight. I think it's different than if you start the season and say you're suspended for the first 2 games of the year. Okay, big deal. Versus, like, they're in the middle of a playoff crunch and there's 48 games to go.
Right, like Gurriel's happened during the World Series, so they suspended him for the following first 5 games of the next year.
Yeah, they gave him the Bynum treatment.
Right. A humongous win for all men at 6:40. Some person in this room got the W for all guys. We're going to ask Reddit at 7:40. Ian O'Connor has the brand new book out. Somehow he got access to Aaron Rodgers. Regret on immunization, making up with his dad. What the heck is going on with Rodgers? What the heck is going on with Hassan Reddick in New York as well? Brian brought us at 8:40. Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com in the final hour at 9:20. But is Jerry Jones getting support from the rest of the league when it comes to his treatment of CeeDee Lamb? Inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys. Glad you're waking up with us. It's a Tolo Tuesday. Just getting started with Sean and RJ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Cowboys recover from their first preseason game against the LA Rams. Brian Broaddus and Nick Harris will join us from Oxnard, California, starting at 8:40 this morning here on Sean and RJ. Thanks for being a Tolo, y'all. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, and thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. Our Cowboys insider is Bobby Belt. Jerry Jones getting some support from the rest of the league when it comes to the CD situation.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, when you hear support for Jerry in situations like this, or there's a strong defense from it, I always read it from the perspective of, okay, does that mean Jerry's doing things the right way, or does that mean he is actually doing them the wrong way? Because other suits across the league are looking at it from their bottom line perspective too, of what would I do if I was trying to win a negotiation? I want to win. And so it always gives me a little bit of pause. But Jory Epstein over at Yahoo Sports had a really good breakdown of just kind of, hey, here's the history of how they've handled holdouts before, how the Zeke one may be influencing the way they're handling CD. And she talked to different executives around the league and just kind of got their opinions about, what do you think about how the Cowboys have handled the Lamb situation? And there's one NFC executive who has been involved in several negotiations, like at the negotiation level, who gave Jerry a lot of credit for the way he's handled CD. He said, holding out is a path of mutual destruction. You're doing that because you think it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt you just as bad. Jory writes, the executive pushed back against the most common refrains criticizing the Cowboys, arguing 3 points for their current negotiation delay. 1, How often does a team win the Super Bowl because of their top of the market receiver? He says they say the Kansas City Chiefs won their past two Super Bowls after trading away the league's most productive receiver in Hill. A lot of people around the league now apparently feel like that's evidence that you don't need the very top. You need quality. You don't need the very top.
Asterisk. They have Pat Mahomes.
And Kelsey.
They do.
And
they
Kelsey. Do.
But, you know, if you look at the receivers that were moved on from, those receivers have not done anything in their new place. So, like, Tyreek has not won a playoff game in Miami. Devontae Adams has not won a playoff game with the Raiders. Hopkins was traded to Arizona. They did nothing. Amari was traded to the Browns. Have they had a playoff win since he was traded to the Browns?
No.
You know, it's like it's this QB, it's the scheme, then it's the wide receiver. And is that why that people should not want to pay them the top dollar that they deserve? Because their replacement cost is probably much lower for a wide receiver than a corner or Micah or whatever.
Is that homework that you did make you alter your thinking at all that they could move on without Lamb?
I do think
and
that
be it, fine.
If I were to sign one or the other, I would probably sign Micah if I had to choose between the two.
Wow. Mr. Ooh. Wide receiver offense. I'm surprised.
Well, it's just that, you know, I think it's much easier to find an elite wide receiver or a top of the market wide receiver than it is to find a top of the market edge.
Okay. Number two, the second point the executive gave defending Jerry. Jerry says the Cowboys can't simply factor in a receiver mega deal like the Bengals as receiver Ja'Marr Chase holds in a year after quarterback Joe Burrow cashed in. Neither are the Cowboys in the same boat as the San Francisco 49ers and Ayuk, whose trade considerations precede quarterback Brock Purdy's negotiation window by year, but also benefit from the certainty of top edge rusher Nick Bosa's deal settling last year. Rather, Dallas has to consider Lamb, Prescott, and Parsons all at once getting done. Like, they're having to factor and measure in too many things right now. They don't have anything settled. But that to me sounds like their fault more than it does any sort of defense for not getting Lamb done. That sounds like, well, you screwed it up and you allowed all these contracts to hit at the same time. And then this is the big one, the third one. And this is where I think...
And by the way, what you started with, I don't understand how the receiver doesn't win. How not? We know that the fines get made up on the back end. How does the receiver not win? The initial comment you started with from the executive.
Where it said, in terms of holding out as a path of mutual, I think they're talking about that ultimately, not because of the fines. I think they're talking about this harms you to be away. That's how I took it. I took it to mean it harms you to be away from the team.
Okay.
And then the third point, if Lamb is under contract this year, why not wait another year and have more certainty in his value? The executive says, people are paying guys just because they're next, not because they're worthy. Sometimes there's value in certainty. And that is where he gives himself away as you're a bottom line guy. That's what you are. And so I don't know.
Or you're a horrible evaluator because this is a worth it situation. This is not a projection.
It does say NFC executive. It does not. This could be the Cardinals or something. I don't know. Yeah. But either way, that to me says that's somebody who that tips it off where when I hear, oh, there's a defensive Jerry. Okay, let's hear how they're coming across and why they think he's handling it the right way. Then I hear him like, okay, but that just sounds like you're more a guy on the calculator. You're more a guy on the spreadsheet, which you need that. And you need those concerns to be recognized. But that sounds like it's discounting the idea. CeeDee Lamb doesn't need to show you anything else.
No.
CeeDee Lamb is exactly the type of player you want to pay.
Adam Schefter yesterday via ESPN on when this thing is going to be over.
I would be floored if he's not in camp before the start of the season, and I would be floored if he missed any time. There's no way. It's just not going to happen. I don't know when they're going to get this done, whether it's this week or next week, but at some point, smarter minds are going to prevail. They're going to figure this out. He's going to get into camp. He's not going to miss any time, and CeeDee Lamb, I expect to be there for the regular season opener, however these sides figure it out.
I have CeeDee Lamb's next team, according to Vegas.
Next team?
Yeah.
Right here, Dallas Cowboys.
Well, if not.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go with
Buffalo.
New England.
Kansas City.
Oh, God.
At 5-1. Again, Vegas is not great with this. They're experts at game spreads, not predicting teams, but just for the heck of it, Kansas City, Detroit, and Pittsburgh at 6-1. The Packers and the Patriots at 7-1. Brandon Ayuk apparently saying no to New England. The Chargers and the Saints 10-1. The Panthers 14-1. The Browns 18-1. And Buffalo 20-1.
Kansas City would be scary, obviously. Even more scary with him. Detroit, that would be an elite receiving core with him and Amon-Ra.
And the tight end.
Oh, my gosh.
And Laporta. My goodness. And then, you know, Buffalo, obviously. They need a receiver.
I was driving in, by the way, and I heard old Maggie Gray again. She's becoming my new public enemy, number one.
Over Amy Lawrence.
She called Amon-Ra St. Brown. She called him Amon-Ra. Mm. Like it was one word. And I'm about ready to just.
Maggie Gray, isn't she like a very innocent, passive, sweet
she is.
Individual?
Yes, absolutely. And exactly the type of person that Bobby would hate.
Not what I've heard over the last week. It's the Packers being up there as one of the teams. Obviously, you said Vegas doesn't know what they're doing. Matt LaFleur apparently yesterday, 2 days ago, went off on the Green Bay media. They'd asked him some question about number one receivers. I read the quote this morning when I got up, and he had said something like, you know, when you guys say that, you really make me want to vomit. He's like, I'm tired of hearing about it. He's like, our receivers are pretty good. And so anytime I hear one number one receiver, I start to feel ill.
So on the Franklin injured terms fan text, it said, you know, Detroit was able to do a quarterback, wide receiver, and 2-0 line this offseason. So is their window just completely shrunken now? Like they're able to do it. Why isn't this team?
The Cowboys, I think, would tell you from their position, they were in that window previously. Okay. And that they're further along down the line, and they've had to flip switches since then. And so now they're in a place where they can't do anything. Gotcha. And I don't know that that's totally correct, but that's what they would tell you.
By the way, Jahmyr Gibbs with a hamstring issue yesterday for the Lions. We were talking about Green Bay. We were talking about receivers. So do you want to take it to Aaron Rodgers or Amari Cooper, RJ Choppy?
Ooh, let's do Amari. I think it's time to pounce. I want you to go up there. I want you to give him a call. I want you to do the old Sonny Weaver from draft day and tell the Browns I want my picks back. But in reverse, I want my player back. Because he did the old post when there was the report about the trade to San Francisco with Brandon Ayuk.
Let's evaluate these terms, by the way, if it happened. This is the rumor. Mm-hmm. Browns and 49ers agreed to send Ayuk to Cleveland in exchange for Amari Cooper, a second, and a fifth. Was I the only one who heard this and said, that's too much that San Francisco's getting in return?
And yeah.
Amari, a 2 and a 5?
Cleveland gives that up, and then Cleveland has to pay on the back end?
Yeah. Is Ayuk better than Amari Cooper even?
I mean, he's more consistent, you could argue. I don't know. Ayuk, I think Ayuk went from being underrated and being a really good receiver. The narrative around Ayuk's getting a little ridiculous.
That's what Michael Lombardi said.
He's not that good.
Lombardi is like, the value's gotten out of control. He's not a top five guy, and he's rejecting. Lombardi, who's got San Fran connections, said that the Niners offered him $26 a year, and Ayuk is like, no. Like, he's trying to take it even above that. And Amari Cooper, in response to this, on his Instagram story, wrote, LOL, I wouldn't mind at all.
Oh, baby.
We already got one receiver tweeting LOL. Why not acquire another?
Oh, baby.
With all the extra money we have.
He is not going to give his all for that team. You know, he didn't like football to begin with, as we've been told.
Sounds like a lot more chess games to me in the locker room. Yeah. Chess.
So, you know, if you look at the Cowboys wide receiver room, you know, it's what? You know, I know you just mentioned how great it is.
Without CD, without CD, it's Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert. That should tell you where the receiver room is without CD, is that they felt like, well, we can't risk Jalen Tolbert getting hurt. Yeah. He's got to sit out a preseason game.
Like, I think Brandon Cooks is a nice player. He's not a two. He's not a two.
He once was.
He once was, but he's not. Like,
a back end two and an awesome three. He's apparently balling in Oxnard. I think Dak called him the best person or the best teammate I've ever known and had, and he shredded the Rams in that practice over the weekend.
Some of it is opportunity for him too. Like, I mean, there were opportunities. There was time last year where you'd see on the film he was winning and they weren't getting him the ball and he was frustrated.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if because Vegas has his over under like 615.
I set his at 615 when we did that last week. There? Yeah,
I don't think it's much higher in Vegas. Like, that's 35-ish yards a game. That's not a number two. A number two is like 60 yards a game to me.
Had a really slow start. You know, so I don't know whether you want to average out some of his second half numbers of the first. Are we still talking about Cooks? Still talking about Cooks here. But this is Amari apparently sounding fine that he'd get up out of there.
Offer him a five.
Do you?
I mean, it worked last time. I mean, 3 years ago, he was worth a five. Yeah. So why is he not worth a five now?
Was it a six or a fifth that we got back?
We got back a fifth.
Fifth.
But I mean, they're getting Ayuk in return. Yeah. So why would they then settle for a fifth? Here's the thing.
Ayuk already said no.
But I mean, like, that's clearly how they value him. It's like, we're willing to give him up for something like this.
Yeah.
We had discussed this last week while you were out. In terms of narratives, how salty would Cowboys fans be when a Coop is already held up as the, here's an example of you guys screwing up.
Yes.
If then he was given to San Francisco and then with all the 49er tension and everything that you have there, now you've got
if he was given to San Fran, at least that shows our front office, they weren't dumb. If he was just given, that shows his value.
That's how somebody would try to do it. But man, I think that would up the tension because Amari Cooper was not thrilled with how things ended here.
What is going on with Hassan Reddick, and why couldn't this happen in Philadelphia? It's happening, of course, with the Jets.
The Jets foolishly traded for him without a contract, without an agreement of him playing, without anything. And they just say, yeah, sure, let's do the trade. So they make the trade for him, and he was traded back in March, and they don't sign him to an extension. They give up a conditional third. And he has now requested a trade.
Again. After holding out of all the offseason programs.
Yeah, and
the only day he's been in the facility was for his presser, which was also on April Fool's. I found that funny yesterday.
That's very funny. So the Jets, the GM, Joe Douglas, is like, yeah, we've informed him that we are not trading him.
Yeah, they rejected it yesterday.
Yeah, we are not going to send him. They've informed him as such. I can't blame him. It's too late in the process to do that. I mean, you already traded for him. You plan your team. You think that you can win. They're all in, as Jerry would say. But, I mean, are they going to pay him? I think most people around the league that I heard on TV yesterday say that he'll just sit out the preseason and he'll eventually play in a regular season game because he's not going to forfeit a game check.
So. Reddick is the fourth known player under this GM. This GM needs to go, number one. Joe Douglas has had now four guys do this. The others were all traded. Jamal, Denzel Mims, Elijah Moore. This is either gross, horrific miscommunication or Hassan Reddick lied or is crazy.
Yeah, because basically the reports we saw yesterday said, hey, they said they would negotiate and we haven't heard from them since March. That's Reddick's camp. A couple weeks ago, we got the Jets leaks that said they made him an offer. He said no. They said, okay, well, before we pull the trigger on the deal, show up for everything, play the first few games, and then we'll give you a new deal. We just want to see it. And Reddick agreed to that and then never showed back up. So there's either miscommunication or lies going on here.
And another mess with the New York Jets, which we'll talk about more with the author of Aaron Rodgers' book at 8 o'clock this morning. Get ready for your brain to be fried during that one. But this could be my favorite segment of the day coming up. Someone on the show with a win for all mankind. We'll celebrate it and honor him after this. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. Checking out the YouTube and Twitch viewers as well. Gregory, Luis, I see Darth on here. Thank you for turning it on. Leaving it on. Your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Rashawn Shreve, RJ Choppy. And yesterday, a victory for all of us in Bobby Roberto Belt.
Yeah, and to get the full context of this story, I take you back to December of 2022. And it was right after I had joined the morning show.
Do you remember it well?
I don't. Cool I just day. I just searched it and in my email prep, and I found the prep email I'd written. But yeah, it was December of 2022. And for about 15 minutes in early December, Kristen was convinced that I was cheating on her with some woman named Rosie. And it's because she got into the car at my car and she turned on the car and the Bluetooth screen popped up and it shows the phones you can connect. And the top one said Rosie's phone couldn't connect. So she's like, who's Rosie? Who is this? And she was on edge about it. And I was like, I have no idea who Rosie is. I can't explain this. No clue. It connected to another car you were sitting next to. I have no idea. No idea. And she was all like, I don't know why you can't explain this. So Addison, my sweet Addison, who's starting school today, she saved me because she told Kristen, she was like, isn't that Rosemary? And Rosemary is her niece, who she had in the car, who had connected her phone to listen to her music. She goes by Rosie, apparently, to her friends. Kristen didn't know this.
How did she not know that?
I don't know. We don't call her that. And so, like, I didn't know she went by Rosie. It would have clicked in my head if I knew, but...
Yeah, but Choppy even referred to my son by his nickname this morning, like Oliver Ollie, like...
Yeah, I feel
they're
like,
not related.
But like you use that related. Like that's I didn't true. I just found out like the other day we're walking through school and all these kids and teachers are calling my daughter Addie. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I guess makes that's sense. What she I know, but makes I guess sense. I didn't realize that's what she primarily goes by here." But that's what
well,
it
makes
was.
Sense that you didn't know that you're never around, but your wife has them 25/7.
Well, I ended up being correct there and she's like, "All right, sorry." She's like, "I didn't know what to think. I just see Rosie. I don't know who that is. It didn't click in my head. Sorry about that." It's like, "All right, fine." Fast forward to...
Was it just, all right, fine, or was it a escalation and a blow-up?
No, she just kind of like was...
No, you!
Oh, no, no, it didn't blow up on that one.
Okay.
This previous one, this most recent one blew up a little bit. So, fast forward to August 2nd, and we're sitting there on the tennis courts of Oxnard in the expressway, and I got a text... And
yeah, listeners heard this live play out.
Started shaking my head. And it's because I had a text message from Kristen and it was a picture of a like a compact. And she had said it's like a makeup thing. It said like translucent powder pack. And she had said, "I was cleaning out your car this morning before you got back to have it ready for you. And I found that I'm really hoping we have another Rosie situation on our hands." I just shook my head and I was like, I have no idea what this is. But yeah, probably. I don't have anybody in the car. So literally, and so we're sitting there and I'm just kind of shaking my head. When we got done with the break, I got up, I called her and I said, she's like, "Well, what am I supposed to think?" I just woke up and said, I was like, I understand a snap reaction of where the hell did this come from?
Yeah.
And like thinking that for a quick second. But just think through it and go, it's probably like last time.
I got burned the first time thinking this.
And so I told her, I was like, "Hey, you need to think through everybody. It's probably Rosemary's is who it is, but you need to think through everybody who potentially you need to think through anybody who's potentially been in the car when you've driven it. And you need to text a picture to all of them. And you wouldn't have even needed to text me because you would have found there's my answer. One of them would have said it's theirs because I haven't had anybody in the car." So I had told her, I was like, if we find out when we find out who this is, who owns this.
Yeah, the other great part of this story is the delay that had to happen, the wait that had
because
to take place.
I'd said this is Rosemary's, and she goes, "Well, Rosemary just went to camp, and they take your phones at camp." And so
sounds
we can't,
like a Pine Cove situation.
We can't talk to her for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Two and I was like, weeks.
Jeez. So I've been randomly, I knew she was back on Sunday. So I had talked to Kristen on Sunday night. I was like, "Hey, did you text Rosemary?"
Did Kristen text any other women asking?
No, she's like...
Because she texted my wife about it.
Not asking her if it was her. It was more just like, "Can you believe this girl?" Like that. Yeah. But she had said yesterday, on Sunday, I was like, "Have you texted her?" She goes, "No, I don't." I'm
all right,
sure.
So you're the one. It's not like she had an alarm or a schedule set saying she walks out of camp at 12:01 p.m. on Sunday. Yeah. You were waiting for it.
She realized she had, like, it had clicked her. It's probably hers. And so she was like, "All right, I got worked up." But I told her on Sunday, I was like, text her. She goes,
because if she had forgotten about it, I wonder if would you even have bothered to bring it up?
Like, he was going to bring it up.
But because had she still mentioned it in the.
No. She was done with that after that Friday. When I landed, she was done with it.
And Bobby also, you're trying to say that he should have just let sleeping dogs lie?
Let's just say he did nothing wrong, right? Okay,
I didn't.
Right. But it's still, let's just say you did nothing wrong, but it also wasn't hers. Now you're in a completely different, unwinnable situation.
Yeah. Yes, that was the bad part. That was the thing, is that if I can't explain that...
But Bobby even identified that it was very impressive. He goes, "This type of makeup is something she would wear." And I was like, what are you talking about? How do you know that?
Because it's like when it says translucent powder packed and it's a little like, it's meant to, I guess.
We don't know what you're
going to know what that means.
But no, but I guess it makes you look like lighter and she dresses in.
Oh, so it's Sammy Sosa.
No, but she's lighter complexion. She likes to wear lighter complexion, darker. It's borderline goth look, sort of. And so I was like, that makes more sense to me. So I told her on Sunday, I was like, "Did you text Rosemary?" And she's like, no, I told you you're probably right. So I was like, no, I don't want probably. Like, we're gonna figure out.
And I'm not letting your ass off the hook that easy.
So we take the girls yesterday. It's their last day before they go back to school. We take them to get lunch. And while we're sitting there, I was like, did you text Rosemary yet? And she's like, I don't even have the picture anymore. I was like, I do. I'll text it to
you.
And so I texted it to her. I was like, send it to her. So
good job, Bob.
She texted it to her and goes, hey, is this yours? I found it in Bobby's car. And she went, LOL, yep, sorry. I was wondering where that was. I made sure to take a picture of her face right when she read the text message, and she's just kind of like staring at me like, yeah, all right, fine, you win. And I told her, I was like,
No, not just an all right, fine. No, you have to make her suffer more than that.
No, and I told her, I was like, all right, moving forward, you're not allowed to have anybody in my car.
You told her that.
Yeah. I was like, you can't have anybody in my car. Because the idea is like, we're not going to run into these situations anymore. Now, moving forward, if you've got to clean out my car and you find something in there, as long as you don't have anybody in there, then you'll know with certainty that it must be somebody I did. And I never have anybody in the car, so you'll stop finding things and it won't be an issue. But nobody's allowed to be in the car anymore other than, like, the kids.
Yeah.
I don't even know that I would say her mom at this point. She would probably not say her mom at this point.
That's right.
Given the way they've had issues. But I won.
What a win.
It was a big dub yesterday.
What are you going to do? How are you going to hold it over her head? The best part.
I don't know yet. I don't like to get one strong victory. I don't like to get an over-the-top celebration.
Like, pepper it.
I like to just subtly let it change the tone and tenor of our relationship moving forward. And that way I don't spike the football too much, but I just kind of casually take back even more power.
More cereal nights. You got to have, like, you know, your coupons.
Coupons for cereal.
Cereal coupons.
No.
Well, now what you can do, Bobby, is you can start having girls in the car, because if they leave something behind, you can say, are we really going to go through this again?
Yeah! Don't put that in her head in case she's listening.
Well done.
Wow. Thank you for that. No, cereal nights.
I want to hear from anyone with similar situations, and even if you got caught, like, similar situations at 877-881-1053.
I was determined, because you guys saw during that break, I was like, this is
ridiculous. Oh, I can tell you were innocent with your reaction.
And I was like, she's got it. But I also, he's right, it was a risk. If she had not said it was hers, there's a chance Kristen could have had somebody in the car that she forgot about, that she wouldn't even know to text, that then we'll never get an answer, and I'm potentially opening up a can of worms. But I knew it wasn't mine.
This kind of happened once. It was New Year's Eve, and I was sitting on the left side of the I'll never forget, because sometimes I'll text up the emoji heart eyes. I'll even do it to a listener who is like, your son's awesome. Mother of the show D. I'm always writing back, you know, Dawn, Ranger Dawn. I'm hitting the love thing on it or whatever. And I believe I was texting Jared, and I wrote, like, and, you know, Jared with his well wishes, like, oh, happy new year, prosperous, blah, blah, blah. And I like write back like a heart thing or something like that. Yeah. And she was like walking over my shoulder. And she's like, who are you writing like hearts to? And once she saw my immediate reaction, like, Jared, when I'm like, here. Yeah. Then she know, like, my wife is never going to admit, like, all right, my bad on that. I got that wrong. She would never, ever admit. She had way too much pride. So that created like some awkwardness. I'm like, no, look. I want you to undo my phone. Here's my code. I want you to go through the entire phone of all the mess. And I have my phone out so often, right? I think that went and alleviated out of her brain, but I think that kind of set the tone not to ask me again about that stuff. The location conversation, that has never come up one time, any of that stuff, because she knows I'd probably snap over.
I've always told.
Does she not have your code to get in your phone?
No.
Really?
Yes. I'm like, it's my phone.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I've always told.
Now, she could have it if she remembered it. I've given it to her multiple times, but like, she doesn't right now. If she had to get into my phone, she couldn't get in my phone. Or why are you so shocked?
I think I could
that?
Be able to get into it.
No, you
I think couldn't. I've seen you put your code in that long.
Yeah.
I've always I've always told Kristen or whatever, which she doesn't. She's usually, you've seen it before. There's plenty of times where she's just like, yeah, go off, do whatever. That's why it's weird where she picks these moments where it's like, why are you not, like, why is your snap to, like, not believe that I was...
Well, her biggest mistake, if the, what was the name of the music name on
Rosie.
The, If the Rosie thing never happened, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But she looks so foolish and takes such a fat L after the first thing happened. And it, and then you your mind resorts and goes to that same place. And it's like, you just took an L. It might be hers again. Chill out. Not if this was the first incident with the makeup, fine. But the music one already happened.
Well, and the fact that she was even willing to reference it. She referenced the previous incident when she sent it to me. Like, hopefully we have this again. It's like, you probably do. Again, I don't blame her for any human reaction to seeing what is this in the car. I get a snap, like, instant reaction of like, this seems suspicious. But when you think about it, you should go, oh, no, wait, that's...
And then, of course, our human reaction, sorry, Bobby, for what I'm about to say here...
Hit me.
...is Kristen. You don't got nothing to worry about.
Right, okay.
No one is coming to pick him up at Fan Bowl with his 110-degree sweatshirt and pit stains... And blacked outness 2 hours in to go have a fun time with him back at their place.
If a girl is after him, she's just a barber wanting to trim the neck beard.
She's a Paul Mitchell student.
That's all she is.
With the makeup. Yeah. Exactly. That's where the compact came from. Akash Singh, the stand-up comedian, he had told Krista one time, he's like, this is the outfit.
The stand-up comedian told your wife?
Yeah, he's like, this is the outfit of a loyal man. He's like, this is not a guy who's trying to go out there and get any action, clearly, by the way he's dressed.
For real. 877-881-1053. So, Bobby, congratulations on
that.
It's Sean, RJ, Bobby. We got Pepe in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Am I about to be dead wrong about Deion Sanders in year two? University of Michigan with a middle finger move and everything else and an RJ Choppy college football kegger next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.